On second down, Ryan out to his right. Has got a lot of grass in front of him, and now a touchdown. A rushing touchdown for Matt Ryan. That's the 10th of his career, first of the year. Falcons bring a blitz, a little flea flicker, and Bridgewater throws. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. Only one timeout left for Carolina. Flag on the play, and this is picked. Intercepted, and the defense makes a play. That's Bleedy Ray Wilson.
Yes, the defense for the Falcons makes a play indeed, but not before making everybody sweat it out. They get it done, though. 25-17 over the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. Atlanta has now won two of their last three games, and the Panthers now, after that great start, on a three-game losing streak. And I almost feel like I'm here, of course, this is Dan Hansis, with Greg Rosenthal. I almost feel like this should be a place for you and Mark Sessler to commiserate about your beautiful Panthers and all that has suddenly gone wrong with them and have a little like a psych session together. But instead, we'll just do a more even-handed breakdown of what happened on Thursday night. Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, you can just be poking and prodding me about it, and then I can be defensive and come back, and that might be better podcasting. I don't feel that way about the Panthers as a whole or Matt Rhule or the team, because they're kind of where they should be, where I expected. I do feel that way about Teddy Bridgewater, though. Like, I feel like I was the parent watching, like, my kid move up to, like, the travel team or something. Like, he gets to play. Everyone's watching him. It's like everyone's watching Teddy Bridgewater tonight. And I just wanted him to play a representative game, and he ended up having a few things go poorly for him. He didn't, throw the ball great. I don't think he was seeing things too clearly. They cooked him up on a ton of blitzes.
Yeah, they did.
That really was the game to me. And he also suffered like a massive injury, what looked like a massive injury when he took a dirty shot to the head and you thought he was out for the game. Then he came back in and I was getting like Alex Smith coming in for Washington vibes. I was just like, nobody hit Teddy for the rest of this game, and he ends the game on an ugly pick. So that I am weirdly emotionally invested. I don't know why.
What we didn't see is a trainer for the Panthers like shove a giant Toradol needle into his neck muscle to fix it so he could get back on the field, because he was absolutely blasted there. And I've slept wrong, overnight, and woken up with a neck injury where I like it gave me issues for weeks at a time. To see the angle at which he was hit, I mean, it speaks to his toughness, and also that's football. I mean, these guys are all kind of badasses to be able to play through what they play through. But very strange on the Falcon side of things, Greg, because I was actually trying to document it in real time on Twitter today.
Oh, I saw. That was good.
Yeah, like deconstructing a Falcons meltdown before it actually happens. And it really looked like I was going to have a document that people could come back to forever. I just want to set it up because it was all in real time. I think it started right off the gate when Raheem, not feeling so youngry anymore, kicked a short field goal on 4th and inches. On the first drive of the game. That was kind of indicative of some of the red zone failures that allowed Carolina to hang around in that game. Then you had the Todd Gurley touchdown in the second half, and then Koo missing the extra point. Very Falcons-esque to keep it in an 8-point game. You're like, all right, that's going to come back to get him. Then you have Arthur Blank in his red velvet coat and the shot of him looking sternly on the field. When has that ever gone wrong for the Falcons during a telecast? Then you had Todd Gurley, the guy that couldn't stay out of the end zone last week, costing the Falcons a game against the Lions, hopping and skipping to get out of bounds on third down and stopping the clock with 3 minutes to play and giving Teddy and the Panthers every opportunity in the world. Greg, you and I were texting about that. It looked to me like he chose, I don't want to get hit here, so I'm going to put that ahead of not stopping the clock. So it was almost like a business decision. Or it could be the other thing, Greg, which is this guy just doesn't think right on the field. Either way, it's a bad look.
It happens too much. There's a play or two. It's not just that play at the goal line last week. There's a play or two with Gurley I've seen some thoughts on Twitter that's like, ooh, rejuvenation season for Gurley. He's leading the league in touchdowns. I'm like, no, watch this. He's never getting that $6 million contract again. No, it's nothing personal. It's just not. It's not going to happen.
And then finally, the 3rd and 17, after the Panthers get the ball back, DJ Moore somehow gets open for a 30 or 40-yard gain, and you think it's a done deal. But to their credit, the Falcons, they get the sack to back up Teddy, put them in a tough situation, and then they get the interception. So while all of it seemed like it was heading toward a very familiar Falcons ending, let's give them some love in what's been a very tough year for closing this game out.
Well, it's funny, watch every Falcons game now. I don't know why I'm sort of fascinated by this team, but every Falcons game the announcer does what Troy Aikman did all night, which is just like, well, if they had just won those three incredibly painful games, this season would be different. But it is true. Like, they've been in, they're not like the worst team. Like, even if they had just won two of those three insane losses, they're 4-4 right now. And a lot of it is, if you look at the difference between this game and the first Panthers game, which I remember well because I had to cover it for our podcast, is their whole secondary was hurt in that game. They're back, and so they're healthy, and now Raheem Morris feels a little more comfortable cooking up those blitzes and getting crazy, and Teddy never came up with an answer. They never came up with an answer for that. Oh, and Julio Jones is back. I mean, Julio Jones, like, that makes a pretty big difference. Here's what Julio's done the last 3 weeks. 7 for 137 tonight, even though Calvin Ridley got hurt in the second quarter. 8 for 97 last week. 8 for 137 the week before. I mean, yeah, it helps when your, like, first ballot Hall of Famer is out there with Matt Ryan and they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, he's still that elite dude. And that's why when you talk speculation about, are the Falcons ready to blow it up? If Julio Jones was ever made available, I would think a team that was looking for that final piece on offense would give up a first-round pick, even at his advanced age, at his position, or something close to it. Yeah, Ridley went out with that ankle injury, which is a bummer. He was off to another fast start, and he's been a guy that's been an automatic, you know, 7 for 110 and a touchdown every week, it feels like. So it's an ankle injury. You hope it's not something that stays with him. Brian Burns, I don't know what happened there. He's been a really big part of the Panthers front seven, and he got a sack that got wiped out by penalty late in the game, and he was reaching at his back. It's kind of hard to tell what that was all about. So that's a big injury.
He's a beast. That's why I'm not worried. You know, I think Panthers fans have to be happy with this season. The progress. I mean, they're not going to be a sneaky playoff team. This game was kind of fun for a game now that we know the result that had like zero playoff implication. I mean, the Panthers are not going to be contending, but they, like, Burns looks like a top 10 defensive end in the league. That's how well he's playing. Jeremy Chinn, Daniel Jeremiah's boy, we'll give him some love.
There you go.
After we buried him in our preview show, he was so high on Jeremy Chinn, who just won offensive rookie or defensive rookie of the month for the Panthers. So, you know, they've like found some things. They got to feel good about their coaching staff. You mentioned Blank, though. What did you think about Arthur Blank's look?
The jacket, the velvet jacket.
It was a lot. I don't know, man.
I mean, listen, he's an eccentric billionaire. He owns Home Depot.
I wasn't into it.
And
it's in the rain.
I'm with it. You know, I like it because of the rain. I like that going down onto the field and essentially ruining the jacket is a flex in its own way. It's like, you know what? I can do this because it's nothing to me because I have a whole closet of these.
Because he's got no one to tell him not to wear it. By the way, Falcons
fans, what's
wrong
with it? I don't understand what's wrong with it.
It looked kind of just crazy.
See, if Cam Newton wears it, Greg, you're saying he looks cool and he's got the feathered,
Some people can pull it off. I don't know. Like, and by the way, Falcons fans, like last week, I made an Arthur Blank on the sideline joke that it's the worst, the scariest six words in sports, and they're like, "Well, he does that every game," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's the point."
Yeah, we get it, dude.
Yeah, that's the point.
We get it.
You guys, you do it every game.
Any other takeaways from this ball game, Greg?
I do want to point out that the Carolina Panthers defense, which, like as I mentioned, has a couple of players. Derek Brown looks good too. Last forced a punt late in the fourth quarter against the Chicago Bears in Week 5. That was the last time the Panthers defense, who famously sort of got rid of every productive player that they had from a year ago and Luke Kuechly retired, and drafted all defense. And it's just like, as you would say in the second, a bunch of ham and eggers. And it's like, it is coming home to roost a little bit. It's hard to go 2.5 weeks without forcing a punt. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
That is an insane stat. Just cleaning things up, it looks like Brian Burns did return to the game. I missed that. So that's good news for the Panthers. And, well, you know what? I just got to say, Greg, you and Sessler are having a little fun at my expense, acting like the Panthers were this all-world okay. beating team.
That was not true. They were fun.
And I was saying, my response was, I'm not rooting against the Panthers. I don't have any issues with Matt Rhule. I like Matt Rhule. He's a New York, New Jersey guy. But the idea that they were going to be this 12-4 team just felt a little bit caught up in the moment, because now they're 3-5 and they go to Kansas City next week and then they host the Bucks. So look out.
No, they're done. I mean, watching them, they've overachieved. I truly never believed they would be a I thought they could maybe be an eight and eight fun team. And my belief, though, in Rhule, and even their defensive coaching staff, who I think's done a pretty good job with you know, is there. Like, I think they got a good foundation. I think you're just salty because Matt Rhule and Robbie Anderson could have been the combo with the Jets. They had their chance.
It's not that at all. The Robbie thing annoys me, but I want to see him do well. I liked Robbie Anderson as a player. And Rhule, I like Matt Rhule. I wish he was the Jets coach, but it's not like it's like we lost out on Bill Belichick, I guess was my point, because I've done that too, and that's not fun. All right. Good stuff. Good talk. Next time you hear from us, it will be Sunday night, where we recap every Thursday game. And like Greg said, make sure you check out the Thursday preview show. Greg and Daniel Jeremiah in a sneak attack for the ages really went back and forth. And then DJ, who felt, you know, we talk about cornered animal games on the show. Like a cornered animal, he just started hitting out on everyone on the show. So, you know, character was exposed there. But thank you for coming on the show, DJ. All right. That's it. Till Sunday night.